a legend of one man who persuaded his friends to watch every Godzilla movie ever made. This world is on the brink of destruction. We need you now, Godzilla Evangelists!
Godzilla Evangelists, a Geek Stew Network podcast, produced and hosted by Ryan Sargent, featuring Sam Schlenker and Joanna Brodecki.
I know you guys have been asking for a long time for more insights into my bizarre Godzilla-filled childhood, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Bizarre, Ryan. Ryan, don't knock our guests. Come on. People are matching this level of commitment out there. Come on.
I'm not knocking our guests. We have with us here my sister, Lauren.
My beloved fans. I've been requested highly by over 100 comments. On this page, but you
are beaten out me and Sam by miles.
So when my parents first brought Lauren home and showed her to me, my aunt was
from
taking
where?
From the hospital.
From the baby garden.
Oh, okay, all right.
Historic, goddammit.
Go on.
So my aunt was taking care of me, and she was making cookies in the oven when my parents came in. And so my parents said, like, look, Ryan, here's your new sister. And I looked at her for about 5 seconds, and then I said, can I have a cookie now?
Yeah, over it. Quickly move on.
Yeah.
But eventually, I grew to like her more than a cookie. And I made her play many, many games of Godzilla growing up.
Yes.
And
I can't even imagine, honestly.
That's the reason why she's here for Son of Godzilla, is because when we played, I would always be Godzilla, and
I would be Minya,
the baby Godzilla.
did Ryan just make you lay in the dirt and praying mantises would just poke you infinitely? Because it doesn't sound like a fun game to me.
In my universe, in our universe, shall I say, Minya had a way higher IQ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a lot more participatory.
And Ryan was not abusive, right?
Depends on what terms you define abusive.
The regular way that people say
okay,
abusive.
Then no.
That threatening hand was always there.
Yeah, Godzilla.
Don't you break character.
Godzilla has a lot to learn about parenting, as you might guess. So I may as well say it up front. This one's really special to me. This was the second one I ever saw. And over time, it's actually become my second favorite. I don't think it's like the second best, but it is my second favorite. Part of it is like the fond memories of us playing together. But I think there's a lot to love about this movie, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Ryan, is the original one, which one is ranked as number one for you again?
In terms of which one I think is the best or which one I like the most?
Like, which one you like the most?
King Kong versus Godzilla.
Classic.
Okay. Still a strong jump, but I get it a little more.
So you didn't have Lauren play awesome King Kong, but you had her play helpless, roll around in the dirt and get silked.
From my belly.
I don't know who first suggested me being Minya, but a lot of the time it was by choice. I have a very strong affinity for that mushy gray object that is Minya.
Very adorable. Also, Sam, I knew you would be triggered by that silk throwing, so I'm happy that we're able to address it early on.
We should probably address it up front. It didn't bother me as much as the larva, and there are two reasons. One, the spider is less phallic looking than the larva. That's the first reason. And then the second reason is it's like a wider stream. You know what I mean? Like, this is like he's spraying web.
But the roping seemed thicker, so that bothered me more. He cut through it with a flame, which felt like bullshit to me.
Oh, I really want to do that, though. That was very satisfying to watch.
I was like, this would take forever. It takes me 20 seconds alone to turn a lighter on. There's no way.
That's true. I can imagine this being the next great Instagram video, like soap.
If I put that on a satisfying channel, it would get like 50,000 hits.
Good thing Todd was on the last episode to talk about his love of corny 60s shit, because it really carried me through the first 30 minutes of the film.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, before we start talking about, before we start getting into the debates, let's go to the synopsis. Okay, here we go with the story of Son of Godzilla. Sound effects at the ready. Feel free to jump in and make sound effects as I tell the story. Yeah. Reporter Maki Goro arrives on Solgeo Island seeking a story from the team of UN scientists posted there. He eventually discovers that they are developing a method to change the weather, an effort led by gruff Professor Kasumi. Some of the team are beginning to crack up thanks to the brutal weather conditions and the giant mantis monsters lurking in the woods. But Goro's yearning for adventure leads him to discover a mysterious woman swimming offshore.
I'm sorry, the movie itself is so silly.
She's a very quiet swinger. Swinger? She's a very quiet swinger. Wow, Sam, get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, there's only one of her, and there's like 8 scientists.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, during a test of the weather control system, strange interference causes it to go awry and douse the island. And douse the island in a super hot radioactive storm.
Hot.
They do a musical number. Hot.
We turn into like Beetlejuice.
The mantis monsters, now called Kamacaris, grow to an absolutely massive size, and some scientists... You imagine it happening just in a few seconds, it just went... Whoop.
In my mind, it did.
Some scientists beg to go home. Unfortunately, the team soon becomes trapped when the Kamacaris break open a giant egg, and Godzilla comes to rescue the baby inside. The baby...
That's my impression of Minnie.
Good work.
Practice.
The baby Minya is saved, but the UN compound is wrecked. While Minya grows and learns from Godzilla, the scientists struggle to survive with the help of the mysterious woman, Psycho. When Minya's battle with the giant spider, Kumonga, begins to destroy the cave the humans are hiding in, Professor Kasumi decides to use the weather control device to buy time. Everyone successfully works together to complete the experiment, while Godzilla and Minya defeat Kumonga. Finally, the humans leave on a submarine, while Godzilla and Minya huddle together in the freezing snow.
Aww, precious.
All my brothers, sisters, and me.
Is it okay. All my brothers, sisters? I always thought it was I got all my sisters and me.
Oh, yeah.
That might be it. I'm not sure.
We did the remix because we don't have any sisters except us.
I also remember that song specifically from Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, which very specifically feels like it'd be like sister-y related, so could be either. Who knows?
Write us, won't you? Tell us which one it is.
Not the one we said.
When you're done weighing in on Joanna versus Sam, weigh in on sisters or brothers.
Do one boo or otherwise. Yeah.
Otherwise. We'll get into that later.
Okay, so let us talk about the characters of Son of Godzilla. First and foremost, we got Akira Kubo as Maki Goro, who I think is just like such a great, charming protagonist. And, I feel like he actually has strengths and flaws that are relevant to the story for once, at least in the first half of the movie.
I at least, right off, this is the reporter, right?
Yeah.
right off the bat, when he jumped out of that plane, his line was, "Thanks for the welcome committee. There's my luggage." And I was like, yep, this is the part. That's the part. He's going to do it well. Check, check, check.
I like that they gave him like a real like gag shot where he was like, "I made you guys some salad." And they're like, "No, check out these specific boxer briefs that were in your salad water." And he goes, "Whoa."
And they were like, "Extra spicy tonight." Really
for. Yeah, he did a lot of big fun takes, like when they're trying to get him to break by giving him the food, and he's just sitting there and he starts to reach for it, and then he pretends like he's swatting a fly. It's a very funny take he does there. But he's definitely going big, but I think that's definitely the right pick for this story. We also got Tadao Takashima, who's obviously too young for his role as the professor, but somehow he makes it work. He's a nice presence in this movie, especially in these like little moments, like when him and Goro are like being attacked by the giant Kamakuras for the first time. They have a nice bonding moment where they like work together for the first time. It's like very small, but it's like those little things add up in this movie, I feel like.
Yeah, I really like the sense of brotherhood in this movie, which I felt was a lot stronger than any other Godzilla movie I've seen. Obviously, that's a product of the decade, I'm sure. It's a lot more lighthearted, comedic moments. We're actually bonding instead of being distressed over every 10 seconds when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
I straight up felt like I was watching South Pacific. I was ready for the men to start singing about the army, but like in a, like, that background soundtrack, no matter what was happening, was like, like so happy.
Soundtrack in my notes. Most charming Godzilla theme.
Yeah, it was literally South Pacific for any musical theater makers out there.
As long as we're talking about the music, I love it. It's my favorite non-Ifubuke Godzilla score. It's really good.
It's yeah. Pretty fun. That was my first note, was I wrote very concise notes and not very many on this movie. And my first note is this music.
This.
What were you writing about? That, like, the scientist worker theme? Like, that that bit?
I can't remember. It was early.
I think all of it. It all felt similar. But, yeah, like, yeah. Whenever they showed the baby being abused, it was like do 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 do, like it was very. They got it.
Whoa!
That was our silly performance.
It's a classic Minya theme.
Again, great. I didn't even realize exactly what the tiny creature's name was. I was just calling him baby or son the whole time.
Yeah, I was surprised upon watching it, because, you know, I've seen this movie a lot because it's my favorite, watch it when we were younger. I always thought that they said his name in it, but I'm like, no. They just straight up didn't name him. I'm just such a fan that I know his name, his full name, Manila, his nickname, Minya.
Yeah, when you guys talked about, when you named him, I was like, oh yeah, I must be a dumb idiot who didn't notice it in the movie, but I'm glad to know that I am just a person who doesn't read extra stuff.
No, he gets his name in a later movie, but, you know.
Oh, he comes back?
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
I will say, I know we're on characters, but on the subject of the music, right out the gate, I was like, between the super bright production design and the way this is shot and the music, like, I was like, I'm in for this. This is, like, this is a fun time. It's, like, it's, you know, bright and vibrant, and we're all friends here on this island. So right out the gate, I was enjoying this quite a bit. And the music had something to do with it. And also,
Agreed. And
I'll get back to this later, but that stripy shed, the shed with the red stripes.
Oh, my God, the circus was tent? 100%.
Yeah, I was the most invested I've ever been in anything in that shed. And you know what? There's a reason I didn't like the second half of this movie, and we'll get to that later. I loved
it's
that shed.
Because the shed's gone.
Yeah.
I wrote, what the fuck, Stripe Shed?
No, but Sam, I agree. And like Todd's Monster Zero speech on, which we'll have to have him redo, but his speech on bright colors and corny hanging spaceship, like corny set decorations that are tiny, I was 100% there for it. So thank you, Todd.
As long, just a brief mention, Mr. Takashima actually died a few weeks ago, so rest in peace, buddy. Then we got Saiko, who's also very charming. I think that she makes a really cute couple with Goro, and I like how she's roughly treated as an equal on this, like, island survival mission. It's pretty cool.
Agreed. I like that they gave her pants. Her voice was, like, a few notes lower than I've typically heard them. Oh, sorry, like, they're usually way up here. So that was great. I was ready for a twin to pop out at any moment, though, I do have to admit, being on this island.
Tell me why that couple had a more natural romantic progression than, like, half the movie couples nowadays. I, like, just accepted it. I'm like, yeah, that seems right and good. Like, I didn't feel rushed, even though, you know, there was no discussion.
Yeah, I guess it's just because, like, they naturally have a reason to like each other. They sort of impress each other up front, and I don't know, it's not a big deal. They're just attracted to each other. I think it's just, it's handled well.
Well, it's not like he had a lot of options.
Right, I was going to say, they had a lot of time, and it was classic, like, when I was abroad, clear goggles went on because the program was so small, you know?
It's true.
They were great together.
He didn't have to think too long about this. And then even poor Akihito Harada, who normally gets the most boring roles, even his character is at least mildly interesting in this one. I like how he has this good cop, bad cop dynamic with the professor.
It took me a second to realize that he wasn't the head professor. Like, when we first show up and I'm like, oh, the more distinguished looking one who we know and respect because he's been in these movies for a while, he must be the boss. And then it was like, oh no, he's just a guy. He's a guy.
That hint of gray.
Yeah.
Just says I've been here longer than you.
Yeah. Well,
right, he is the natural gray as opposed to the powdered gray in Tadao Takashima's hair.
Can you imagine that discussion with the casting agent where he's like, no, look, I have real gray hair. And they're like, no, gray the young man's hair up. And he's like, no, I have gray in my hair right now. All you have to do is just give me those lines and it'll all make sense. And they're like, no, I'm not buying it. Nope. He started strong and then he's just on a slow decline.
Yeah. And then we get to the monsters.
Ooh, what a trip. That's all I gotta say.
So with Kamakuras and Kumonga, I'm always really impressed by their puppetry. It's, like, always really coordinated, and the fact that they move around in these really cool, if not entirely realistic ways, make them interesting to watch, even if you feel like they're going to get creamed by Godzilla.
No, I am in agreement, actually. I thought the puppet monsters were some of my favorite monsters of the series so far. Wow. And I thought... Oof, I'm sorry, guys. I felt like Godzilla was among the weaker Godzilla representations.
Yeah, he looks like a big old frog.
He's a little frog.
He looked like King Kong. They kind of both looked like they had the same face.
I could see the logic and thought that went behind this design, though, because I specifically wrote in my notes, like, they added the googly eyes. Well, I didn't know the movie previous to this, but the googly eyes, to me, like, humanized him and really allowed for... them to see him as, like, a father to the baby, even though not the best parenting, but you could definitely see where they wanted you to see him as more human than destroying monster.
Is your father googly-eyed?
Yes, a little bit.
Yes, all right, it all makes sense.
He was also straight up fucking exhausted. Like, I feel like in these other movies we've been watching, he's just always been, like, sleeping under rocks, and now it's like, I get it. Like, he's raising a kid, he's fucking tired. Like, he teaches it a thing and he has to go to bed.
Who is the mother?
That's always been the mystery. One of the theories
chicken or the egg, you know?
One of the theories is that either this Godzilla or the one that died to the oxygen destroyer is the mother, and this one is the other one.
But aren't they all the same Godzilla? Aren't they like Michael Myers in Halloween?
No, this is one. Technically, this Godzilla we've been following since Godzilla Raids Again is a different one.
What? Hmm. It's So the Matthew Broderick one is not the same as the
Well, so actually that's what I'm going to ask is, do we just put any stock in, like, Matthew Broderick told us how is that Godzilla's born pregnant now on TLC.
Leave that ickiness out of this.
No, no, guys, it's canon. I'm just saying, could this have been a born pregnant Godzilla?
It is canon.
And part of why his eyes are so big is that he just had an egg fall out of him, and he's had it his whole life. I'm just saying.
That is how giving birth works.
Not gonna lie, Ryan, I might... Oof. I don't know how I compare the two, honestly. I had some mixed feelings on this one.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's get into it. Let's get into the plot. Let's get into all the belly rubbing, all of it.
All right, well, we may as well address the most controversial aspect up front to finish out the characters and begin our analysis, so to speak, which is Minya himself, which... I love him, fandom be damned, the whole fandom is against Minya, but I find him really very cute, and he's extremely emotive in this movie. Like, you can really feel how he's feeling. Like, there's a great performance of just, like, you can tell when he's frightened and happy and curious. It's like, it's probably the most expressive monster costume they've built in these movies, which is really interesting to watch.
I agree with all of that, and then I also have babysat many children in my time, and I do believe wholeheartedly that this movie was made for children. And based on the love of it in your childhood, I feel like that it just plays to kids 100%. It's like an extravagant Barney film. There's like no real danger ever, really, kind of. All the monsters are like these big puppets, and plot is like, has some, like, you know, high points, low points, climax, but like there's never like real weight to it.
I could nitpick with some of the individual things you said, but overall I agree. I mean, this is definitely...
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm like, my 5-year-old niece would fucking love this film. Like, I'd have a fun time watching this with her. It just feels a different tone.
Yeah, this is like... It's like a Pixar movie. It's like a family movie.
Yes.
I'm gonna roll with that, Ryan, and say it's like a Pixar movie where Minya looks equally as horrifying as the humans in the original Toy Story.
Oh, don't get me started.
All right. So here's where I fall on this.
Okay.
So for all you, I'm guessing by what you said that the fans are like, Minya's dumb, like the baby monster, like, and I don't agree with that. I like the idea, and I like that this is a fun, light, brightly colored, it is, you know, it feels like a movie for kids, and I will just say, of all of the Godzilla films we've watched, this is the one I am most likely to put silently on my TV in the background when people are over. That
agreed.
Because agreed. Real conversation starter.
Yeah, actually, 100%. Because that's what I do sometimes, is when people are over, just throw a movie on and it's something. You know, you don't have to be stuck talking with me.
Is that a compliment?
It is because it's weird and bright, and you know, there's a lot to comment on visually, and visually it's kind of interesting, and I'm fully on the Jun Fukuda train as a director of Godzilla movies, 100%. Okay. This confirmed it. Now, that said, Minya reminded me of Mac and Me in a lot of ways. Was really, like, really bothered me a lot, and also I found the movie to be on the dull side for especially the second half. Yeah.
I think this one moves really snappily.
It
really? No, it doesn't.
It's to be like, I didn't find any of the characters. It's funny you mentioned that you love all these characters. I found them all to be like, yeah, they're fun. They're guys. They're people. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on board with it as much.
I didn't like, really, they were all kind of the same.
Yeah.
You really didn't feel the charm of them?
I felt the charm of just the aesthetics of the movie. And I liked the puppetry of the not Godzillas. But yeah, no, I was, again, it's exactly what you said. It's a good conversation starter for me. Put it on silently and you're like, what is this? Is this a weird baby Godzilla who looks like Mac from Mac and Me? And I'll be like, yeah, fun fact, Ryan and Lauren love it. And then we can have a conversation about you two while the movie plays silently.
Thank you for letting me live on in your home.
I feel like for me, usually I'm like, sometimes for films, I'm like, yeah, the plot was going really well. And then the monsters came in and then it kind of died. Like, for me, this film, I was more interested when the monsters were on screen. I was like, what are these silly things that they're doing right now? And the rest of it, I think what I said earlier, there was no real main climax. Like, there kind of was, but it was like, oh, the weather turned really bad for a second. Oh, we got to get that red liquid. It just felt very, like, pitter-patter versus this big overall kind of.
Anybody thirsting for that red water, though?
Oh, it was straight up red Gatorade. I was like, it is 100 degrees in my apartment. That is fresh red Gatorade. Oh my god, please.
I need to get some shells to drink.
I know, right?
They made it look really great.
It does look aesthetically pleasing to drink out of those little shells. Well, I'm going to see if I could at least kind of turn you around. Because I feel like I have a pretty good defense for this.
And I need at least an hour to stand on my soapbox about how Minya is cute. Because I have many arguments.
Oh, so adorable.
Thank you.
Yes!
Really?
We'll get into it.
Guys.
That scene where
I'll explain why you might not find him cute.
That scene where Minya's learning how to blow whatever the fuck electricity flame that is, and he blows like a little ring of smoke. Oh my god. Yeah. I died. I like actually like
life skills of blowing those.
What flavor you think Minya's vape smoke is?
It's definitely great.
You think
it's
he's
great.
A mint?
No, it's boring. It's great.
Oh, I had in my mind that he was jeweling, so I went straight to mint.
I was thinking mango, because that's his favorite food,
right.
Is those
okay,
giant
right.
mangoes
mango.
That they throw in.
How could I get that?
Ryan's on brand.
All right, go ahead. Now is your time to stand up for Minya's cuteness.
Okay. First of all, Sam.
Yes?
Do you enjoy babies and any child under the age of 2?
Do I enjoy babies?
Yes.
Like, does it make you happy?
In your daily life, you're like, I would love to see a baby right now.
I'm kind of a more, I'm more of a older than.
Five.
yeah, like I, infants, I'm not about like young children. Like, yeah, we're chill. I enjoy them.
That's it. Because Minya embodies a baby. Like, I did my research. When they went into the design of Minya, they took into account like Godzilla features, but also they wanted to make him like a baby. And let's start feet up, those juicy baby thighs. I love a good baby leg. I love that. That's my favorite part of a baby.
I have a chunky toddler nephew, and I can attest. I hope everyone has one in their life at some point.
Oh yeah. Minya has juicy thighs.
He does.
And that's one of my favorite features of him, and what makes him very cute is those big legs. Anyone who has a baby loves when they get all chubby and can squeeze those little suckers.
Also, the way he walks, his waddle is 100% on point with like the 2-year-old. It and his expression and need to like get a he is exactly identical to my 2-year-old nephew.
That goes into that, like, they clearly thought, let's make this like a real baby. So if you like babies, I think you can at least see how he's kind of cute. But then personally, I really like the intersection of ugly and cute. I will admit to that. He's not textbook cute. I know that. You look at that crusty face, you're like, something went wrong here. Those 3 teeth.
Uh-huh, you're leaning into my camp now. Go on.
I know he's crusty and I love him. But he's like ugly cute. Like, all my life I've liked ugly cute things. I had a Hagrid figure that I would wrap in a blanket and cradle like a baby. Like, that's just what I'm into.
That's weird.
You know what family I came from.
Well, I feel like Hagrid has juicy thighs, right?
Okay, so maybe what I actually like are interesting guys.
Here's what I think one thing that this movie does really well. One of many things. I think it does a really good job heightening. So you start out with something little to feed on, the mystery of what these men are doing on the island. And then once you find that out, you see the mantis in the woods, and that's something interesting. And you find out, you know, there's an island girl on here somewhere, and then once these things are resolved, the mantises get big, and then Godzilla and Minya show up. And then finally you get Kumonga in the mix to bring, like, the supreme danger, the most dangerous of all the monsters. So it keeps giving you more and more thrilling things, and it even kind of shows you how far the situation has come and how dangerous things have gotten by echoing the countdown. Early in the movie, and then near the very end, you get this countdown that's rapidly edited. It cuts on every second. And I thought that was intentional and very cool that they had that little moment to echo how the stakes had been risen in the last hour of the movie.
See, I wonder if because I've seen so many of these now, and because some of these things that are the stake being raised have become so common that they're not affecting me at all, you know, none of them, my mind doesn't register them, I guess, as stakes being raised. It's just kind of checking the boxes more so, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree. I like all of everything you said, I agree with. My issue is that those are all external to the men who are just being. That was my problem, I think, was that it kind of let all the air out of my hypothetical tires to cut back to the people.
But the thing is that they have to adapt to survive to each of these increasing challenges on the island. So it does involve them at every step of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of just comes down to, can they survive or do they leave? And that, I think, is my... I don't know. It was fine. I'm just telling you how I felt.
Fair enough. I'm just exposing your argument as less.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It didn't have any global stakes, which for a while I was like, this is fun. Doesn't need that fucking global stakes. Godzilla doesn't need to be taken over. Whatever, you know. But I mean, they say oh yeah, the global not enough food, but it's such a throwaway line, kind of. Which Ryan, you might disagree with, but. Yeah, I think eventually I was just all right, let's tighten this puppy up.
I would like to just comment that this movie legitimately made me think that weather balloons make weather change. So for about 10 years of my life, I thought it was possible to change the weather with weather balloons.
See, teaching you important scientific facts.
I learned so much from this movie.
That is some powerful shit right there.
Another thing that I thought was done really well is integrating the monsters with the humans. So early on, you get Godzilla fighting the Kamacaris, and a big flaming chunk flies off of it, which, first of all, is super gnarly, and I love it. But it also flies over the men and lands right in front of them. So it's something that you don't get that often, is the battle being, directly connected like that. And then you have these great full-size, Kamacaris and Kumonga claws that get in there and, attack people, so... I thought that because of those things, it really helped integrate the two spheres of monster and man.
Yeah, it was less of the, let's throw these two monsters, hope they land in this hole together so they can fight it out, which is kind of what the first, five films felt like to me.
I want you to love it, because, see, I feel like before, when the movies have, escalated the weirdness and the interestingness and changed things up, it's really excited, you guys, and I guess I'm just a little surprised it wasn't able to do that.
I think it maybe, the sea monster film, the Scooby-Doo mentality behind it, and the, surfing vibes, there was something about all of those coming together that I could really support, but maybe here, because it was the cast that you cared about significantly, at least for me and Sam, felt smaller, and there was more of a focus on the monsters, but they didn't... I didn't quite understand their point. I don't know if that makes sense. No, I guess I would say, I appreciated all the jokes. I appreciated the colors. I appreciated the puppetry, whatever was going into that. and all the like, oh, I hate the food here. The food here sucks. But I think it just kind of bopped along at like a 6 or 7 for me. And I'd be curious, audience participation, for people who didn't grow up with the film, who saw it a little later on. Like, again, I agree with Sam. I would put it on the background. I might watch it again. If I have a child down the road, I'll throw it on. But I don't think I was like, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I love about this the most is the ending, which is wholly original. I can't think of something, especially of this era, that ends like this, where these with these giant monsters, you know, huddling in the snow, very like heartrending, or you know, at least emotionally involving moment. And it's just, it's, I feel like it's handled beautifully, the way that it all comes together.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep saying the same thing, because well, here's the thing. I agree with you in that I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing that they had it snow and they were huddled there. Like, that's a cool thing I haven't seen in these. But I also wasn't particularly affected by it either.
I would say I had an emotional moment, but like, I have seen, what's that movie with where they're like, I'm Mr. White Christmas, like the abominable, all of those films, The Island of Misfit Toys. I feel like like, you know what I mean? Like, it did make me emotional, but I have had to prep for those emotions before.
The ending that I would have paid money for them to do is for them to be huddled in the snow, and then all of a sudden, shing, super like match cut, jump right to just Godzilla's super frozen face, like The Shining.
scary smash cut.
And then it just says Tuesday.
Oh my god.
Well, I guess they slept a lot of Tuesdays there.
That would have been amazing.
I know this is totally biased perspective, but it gets me every time. I know that you guys don't follow the Godzilla like emotional arc, or at least believe in it as much as I do, but like the whole thing is that throughout all these movies he's been like alone and bitter and like taking it out on the world, and now he actually has somebody who needs to depend on him, and he doesn't have to be alone anymore, and him finally like coming around to accepting that at the end, it's like a little arc.
Okay, but see, that I will argue, because he doesn't have to be alone anymore. He was straight up abusive to that child, so it's hard to put this as like, oh, he's alone. But now suddenly he found love and friendship. Like, anytime the child did something a little, like, parents these days are afraid of saying the words no ever to their kid, let alone this guy just like raising his big arm above the kid's head. Anytime the kid is scared of anything, or the kid runs up to hug him because he's scared, and he like pushes him away and raises his arm up. So,
right. That's why it gets me so hard, though, is that he finally like accepts it. He's like, he is pushing Mini away and not giving him affection, then he finally does at the end.
I guess I'm
picky. I'm like, do we have to wait that long?
It bothers me when people have kids in order to give their own lives meaning, you know, and especially when they're cruel to their children. It just feels like the real loser in all this is Minya, who's gonna have to like make up for the wrongs of his father when he's an adult.
I'm willing to accept it as a relic of the era, but it certainly is. I can see how it's off-putting.
No, but like, I mean, the line when they're like, these are like some, like, it is funny, the thought that parents are like, I don't know, have high standards and such, but I think it's like that physical element that gets a little like, ooh, what's happening here?
For, let the record state to the fans, I don't have a problem with Godzilla's abuse because he's literally a monster. Did we? I'm sorry. I feel bad that we're so seemingly down on this movie that means so much to you guys.
Yeah, I don't know how to express that. Like, I did enjoy it. I just wasn't like, woo, bazinga. Like, I was like,
bazinga.
What is that bra name? And I can't remember.
Big Bang Theory? You're bringing that on here? Okay, if that's your standard, I can see why you have problems with
that. You're bringing the sass.
I used to have a shirt that said bazinga on it. I don't know where it came from.
Is it only from Jim Parsons? I've been hanging around my mom too much, clearly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I thought it was like totally solidly fine and great.
I'm just surprised, honestly. This, like, I guess I never really know what to expect. When I feel like you guys will be on board, sometimes it doesn't happen. And sometimes when I'm like, oh, they'll hate this one. They're like, oh, this was good.
Like, you throw up Matthew Broderick and I'm like, hell yeah, play it forever. It's like, who knows?
Yeah, sometimes you gotta let your kids make their own choices, Ryan. And in this case, you know, we gotta make our own mistakes.
Yeah, I guess this is my Godzilla as a father tendencies coming out. I'm going to go over there and threaten to hit you guys over the head.
Oh my gosh. Well, I see why I like Godzilla Mania so much, because they're also like another father-son pair that I really like that everyone finds problematic, which is Bowser and Bowser Jr.
That's true.
They which are... I also think are adorable, but I can see the issues.
I can see the resemblance. Yeah, that makes sense. That's funny.
Yeah. I have to level with you guys and say that I may have only paid about 80% attention to the second half of the movie because I was busy using FaceApp and trying to age Godzilla's face and Minya's, and it was really having a hard time recognizing their faces as something they could age.
They're racist against kaiju.
It must be, yeah. I mean, I admit I wasn't like at my full capacity, so that maybe that's what it is that it's operating at a level that me distracted by my phone couldn't quite comprehend. So I apologize if that's why I missed
that. Was it, Sam? The intricacies in the last 30 yes. minutes were just far above and beyond what the beginning set up. So
yeah, no, it was basically Boyhood for the second half. You really like, it's really about Minya being Linklater's surrogate.
Right, you get to see him grow up in real time. Well, do we have any last specific thoughts on the movie before we go on to our judgment?
Yeah, you know, what is it with these rock fights?
I did love those guys, the Mantis. Like, they really reminded me of the hyenas from The Lion King. They were just like,
oh, yeah.
They were just bad dudes there to fucking be dicks and be funny.
But cowards as soon as they were actually confronted.
Yeah, but they were like straight up picked up. There was like some wrestling happened there, like video game wrestling.
I also like Kumonga because they do a nice job foreshadowing his arrival, and then you get the great shots of the legs coming out of the ground. Friend of the show, Robert, who is arachnophobic, was genuinely creeped out by Kumonga when we watched this for the first time.
Oh, I was creeped out. He was huge. And that there's such long shots of that claw going at them. And that, I think that was it. It's like they escaped from the spider and they were like, we're fine. And then literally 3 minutes later, he was at the tower and they were like, oh no, the spider again. And it's like, obviously, guys, like you didn't resolve the spider problem the first time. Why are you not aware of that? You're on a small island and you know that. Why do you think that it's just fun? Like, I think that they arrived at the tower and then they were suddenly like, oh, hey, Professor House. They weren't like, oh my God, this huge fucking thing is coming. I was just like, things are happening and then we're just immediately dropping it back to casual.
That's a fair nitpick. That was something I thought of when I was watching the movie. It was like, oh, I do wish that Kumonga had killed, like, one of the disposable scientists just to, like, raise the stakes, like, that last little bit and make them, like, that we need to escape now.
Yes, like, I agree. Like, I agree. That would have made it, like, the true life or death that was kind of needed.
Yeah, there was no Ibira spearing two men, two prisoners who were innocent.
Two slaves.
Yeah, that... I'm just saying, like, there wasn't that moment where I'm just like, oh my God, I am in.
There was no...
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, like stealing yellow juice. Like, yeah. There's just less... It's
too innocent for you.
Yeah, huh? It all felt very easygoing because it was a child's movie, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I only like my Godzilla's hard R.
Sam, you're turning into one of those fans that wants everything to be badass.
Yeah, 2014 Godzilla is the best one because it's so violent.
What was that voice? Terrifying.
That's a great impression.
That's how fans of anything sound to me.
I'm fully prepared to get more hate mail. That's okay. We deserve it. I go to the judgment. So, for anyone who hasn't listened before, and I don't know, have you heard our rating system before?
I have not.
Okay. That's how I know you haven't been listening to the show.
I've listened, just not all the way through.
They're long.
Well, here's how it works. As Godzilla evangelists, we have a holy duty to properly judge where these movies belong in the Godzilla afterlife. So we can place them in either Godzilla heaven, purgatory, or hell, depending on our feelings about them. I'll bring it home because I know I'm going to go on a big rant. So, Sam, let's get the negativity out of the way. Go for it.
I'm not that negative. I've basically said my piece. You guys know how I feel. I say it's a purgatory. It's a pleasant hot breaststroke through red liquid purgatory.
I agree 100%. It's like a solid 75%, 80% purgatory. Floating towards the top, casual, relaxing summer vibes.
Yep. Get yourself a striped shed, put it on in the shed.
Throw on some floaties and some shades, and you're ready to rock.
Drink like your fifth favorite soda.
So, my dear sister, yes. where does Son of Godzilla belong? Get the Godzilla afterlife.
Well, seeing as this is the only episode I've ever featured on, you can probably guess how I already feel about this film. It's part of my childhood, it's part of my life now. It's a feel-good movie, I'm not gonna lie, it is a feel-good movie. I don't think you have to watch a Godzilla movie and have it be serious or feel bad or feel stressed or have any weight. Sometimes you have to have those movies that add more personality to the figure of the series, or yeah, maybe it is for kids. That happens too. So obviously it goes into heaven for me. Little baby angel Minya flying up above.
Ascending up with his
Saint
little halo.
Manila. I worship him.
I'm 100% on your side here. Fully admit I have a bias around this one. But even when I still force myself to think about it hard, I think this is one of the best written Godzilla stories, and like as far as like which movie establishes its goal the best, I think this one hits the target pretty like much closer than a lot of them do. So I know it's not the best one ever made, but I think its poor reputation is outrageously undeserved. Like, I do not get why people continue to rank this near the bottom a lot of the time. It's just so lovable and solid story-wise, and it just clips along for me anyway. I do agree that it leaves the humans alone a little too much at the very end. It doesn't do as good of a job integrating them into the rest of the story as the first three quarters do, but that's really my biggest nitpick. It's an easy Godzilla heaven for me.
Do fans rank this at the bottom?
Oh yeah.
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, people have no sense of fun.
Between this and Ibira, like these are the fun ones. This is when we're all really puts it like, in a different light for me.
Ryan, you saying best written, I'm like, oh, that makes me be like, I don't know. But one of the most fun and definitely, yeah, high purgatory.
When I say best written, I mean that the story structure is like sleek and not bumpy. Like something's always happening. Like, I can see why you guys couldn't connect to it, but if you really think about it, can you at least agree something was always happening?
Yeah, there were always, like, steps being taken, moving.
Yeah. I liked it.
So I think that's really important. So we like to end on an unusual question each week, and the question this week is, which other pop culture figure needs an unlikely movie where they team up with their adorable son? For me, this is just fresh in my head because Sam sent me a very funny Godzilla vs. Rambo trailer the other day. I'd love to see a Rambo and Son movie where he's just walking through the jungle killing poor Vietnamese people and being like, that's how you do it.
And his son talks just like him, but high-pitched.
Sam, why am I not getting this trailer content?
I'll send it to you. I'm sorry. I think I texted it to Ryan because, yeah, it was on... I'm on Godzilla Reddit now, so I can see all your hate speech against me. It was very funny. I think for me, I have to go with... I want to see a Magic Mike and Son.
God, and right before you go to prison, of course.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, it's there's no ending of this movie that isn't me in prison.
You got one, Lauren.
Well, I'm still waiting for a full-length Bowser and Bowser Jr. movie. I mean, he already has true. A son.
We need that to get made. Come on, Nintendo.
Hello, I will buy that content.
As always, I'd like to ask you guys a big favor. Well, not even a big favor. I'd like you to help us out by reviewing our podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's not as hard as it once was. I know you can do it if you have an Apple device, or even if not. You can share us on social media. That's a big deal, is showing us to new people. We actually, it seems like a niche thing to some people, but we have a surprisingly good crossover rate. Like, didn't you show some?
I do guerrilla marketing for Godzilla Evangelist, so if you ever get a DM from me and you're like, I don't know who this person is, I'm trying to get you to listen to this podcast. And I've successfully gotten 3 new listeners. You're welcome.
That's big game hunting rating. Right there. It's just going straight, just sliding into people's DMs one by one and being like, check these 3 people out.
Okay, let's wrap this up. I'm overheating. Same. to cut back to the call to action, you can share our social media. That really helps us. You can subscribe to us on your podcast of choice. That helps a little. Podcast app of choice, rather. That helps a little. And so, as always, we like to read a message from a fan. So since you're here, Lauren, I thought I would read one of the messages that you sent me from a person you converted to the podcast. This is a text exchange. It was very entertaining, LOL. It's the first podcast I care to listen to. Then Lauren said, I am proud, even though it's not my podcast. And then this person says, thank you for linking me to it. A friend of mine is going to listen to his podcast, too.
That is wonderful. Also, Lauren, thank you for promoting us, despite, us hating on your favorite one.
Well, that is what Minya would do. So take that into account.
He has a good heart.
I am not going to give that, him that much credit, guys. He would not... Let's not assign attributes that he clearly doesn't have.
Oh, you wait. He would.
Sam, don't press her. She's going to stop with the marketing tactics.
That's right. I'm going to make her stop listening to this podcast.
Well, before Lauren jumps across the table and begins dual strangling Sam and Joanna. No, Joanna, you like Minya. Before she jumps across the table and just dual hand strangles Sam. We better bring it to an end. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next time with Destroy All Monsters.
Woo! Good night.
We'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
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 Godzilla Evangelists, a Geek Stew Network podcast, is brought to you by me, Ryan Sargent, and my friends, Joanna Brodecki and Sam Schlenker. All our incredible music is composed by Robert Mai, and our wonderful artwork is drawn by Cassidy Stone. Special thanks to our families, friends, and the wonderful artists who made the movies we talked about today. Godzilla Evangelists is a satirical, critical work not affiliated or endorsed by Toho, Legendary Pictures, or anyone behind the Godzilla series. Visit our website at godzillaevangelists.com. We're also on Twitter at GodzillaCast and Instagram at Godzilla Evangelists. If you prefer to listen to us online, we have a YouTube channel. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you join us next episode. In the meantime, keep spreading the word of Godzilla.